Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
You can know so much that when you see people see, they say, oh, Rabboni. Rabboni. It's a place for knowledge. It's called epignosis. Epignosis. Oh, I remember in the days of Holy Ghost meeting, we had this meeting we called epignosis. You know what epignosis is? It's a different type of knowledge. Knowledge after him. You know, knowledge that streams from him. We'll get there. But when I begin to talk things like that, something on my inside begins to bubble. And really, you see, like I said, knowledge is in levels, it's in strata. The reason why you need to be rich is not because you have any point to prove. You understand? There's no point to prove. There's no point to prove. But you see, money can, the lack of supply can be an hindrance to the call of God over your life. If you need to preach the gospel and then you can't take care of your family and you can't do something, you notice that after some time you begin to focus on unnecessary things. You begin to think of compromise. And God is saying that there is nobody who is broke that really has any problem being, any business being broke, because you need to look on the inside of you to see that God will never allow any man take the glory over your life. But if you do not look on your inside, because the greater man looks to his inside. Even when you accepted Jesus, he didn't come to your outside, he came to your inside. He said, ah, my Father will come and make our abode in you, not out of you, in you, in you. The work is first of all in you, in the first assurance, and say that when he comes, he will be revealed in us. First of all, in us, God wants to do a work on the inside of you that no man can see, no man can appreciate, nobody can say, oh, I can see something is going on. On the outside, it just looks like nothing is happening, but there's a major work of construction going on the inside. God is an inside God. So don't despise and don't cast away confidence. We are not in for... you don't even need to be born again to be rich. You don't need to be born again to be rich. They are just principles. It's not necessarily God. Just principles. But you see, there are ways of getting blessed and getting blessed. When... I better just start preaching my message right now. Are you following me? When God wanted to give a man something that was more than effort, he told him, your son, bring him, meet me on a mountain. And you need to be very careful who you are telling what God is saying to you. At that point, it becomes a security risk for Abraham to communicate the Lord's command to his wife. Because she won't understand. You see, they won't understand. Why you chose to marry her and not her, they won't understand. Even your pastor may not understand, because it doesn't make sense. After waiting for many years, all his life. Do you know that when God was talking to him about his son, God didn't talk about his sons. He said, your son, your only son. As at this time, we've had Ishmael for years. God didn't recognize the status of that boy. Say, but the only one I gave you, I need him back. So as far as he was concerned, the boy was already dead. Now, Abraham is not a good example of a family man. So don't follow him. Because right now we'll teach you, discuss with your wife, pray together before you take any decision and all of that. But when God tells you to kill your son, don't tell your wife. You are probably the only one who believes God's head, I mean, spoke to you. I don't even believe. Even as a pastor, I don't believe. Just get out of this church. Go to some church where they specialize in. I don't have experience in killing people, so just, you know. And God waited for him and tested his resilience. Like he's waiting for many of you. But do you know how Abraham was able to pass that test? Most of you think that it's because God, because it's Abraham now. You know that feeling, like it's ego. Ego will, Ego knows what to do. Pastor knows what to do. Somebody's talking to me and say, Pastor, you know, I'm having this problem. And he say, I just believe you have a word in my heart. I'm saying, God, you better start talking right now because I'm so blank. I can't even hear anything for myself. I'm only hearing the voice of the person standing in front of me. I can't hear anything. I can't hear anything. Lord, talk to me. Oh, see something. And I want to be like blank. And I say, let us pray. The moment I say, let us pray, just know, as you are depending on me, I'm depending on God. I don't know nothing. Meanwhile, sometimes somebody's not asking you for something. The person just talking, and the Lord takes you 5 steps ahead and shows you the history. Abraham didn't learn obedience there. That obedience he demonstrated when he almost killed that boy. He didn't learn hold your hand there. He learned resilience when he was waiting for Isaac. If not, he would have heard, kill your son. He would hear, stop. And he would have said, but God, you... I said, am I still saying? And they say, God can't change his mind. Who said? That's the many people missed it. God told me she was my wife. Is God still saying so? I prayed. I know what I saw. Many times we give wrong interpretations to true prophetic messages. And many of us are stuck simply because of a wrong interpretation. But God was actually saying something. When you receive a prophet, oh my God, I just get into my mind. Is this helping anybody? When you receive a message from God, the first rule, don't be quick to interpret it. Just put it on the shelf and be looking at it. Don't think that because you had a vision yesterday that was similar to the one you are having today, and this was what God said yesterday, that is what God is saying today. He's the God of the yesterday, but he's also the God of the today. He might just be having something else on his mind. Don't preempt God. Don't try to predict him. Don't assume with him. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. Don't think you are too close to him. Don't think you know him so well. When God relates to you, he doesn't relate to you as the anointed. He relates to you as his son. You should be able to tell the difference, that when you are with him, you are not the anointed man of God. The anointing was for the people you are sent to. So when you come to him, you should be able to lift up your voice and say, you are here, standing in this. You must recognize the fact that you are only standing here because he gave you space for it. If you don't come to that recognition within you and in you, and you let people give you a false impression of yourself, or you give yourself a wrong impression of yourself and you lie to yourself, or allow people lie to you, you are going to notice that you've accumulated so much of wind, baseless nonsense, something you feel but you can't lay hold, you can't use for anything. It's just there like shadows, you know, like I thought it was there. Yes, there's something there, but it's nothing. That something is nothing. So we are not even talking about money. We are, for you to press into that type of wealth, you must be free from greed. When God asked that man to, after waiting for 100 years, to put that boy on the altar, the Bible says he staggered not at what? The promise of God. In my mind, I was asking, well, really, Abraham, at that point, what were you thinking? It was Romans that told us that Abraham knew and he believed that even if he had killed that boy, the boy could have been brought back to life. If God could have given my wife, my almost 100-year-old wife, a 24-year-old body, that she could carry a baby with and give birth without an operation, that same God is able, oh my goodness, is able to take life and to restore it. If it, you know, because you, most times we fail in our battles because we do not remember our journey with God. Many times you were in a vehicle and you had an accident in that vehicle and almost died and walked out of it. Some of these times you are not even walking with God at that point in your life, but maybe somebody, your mom or your dad or your uncle or your brother, somebody somewhere was praying for you, and then somehow you almost got expelled from school, and then something happened and they let you off the hook. You got pregnant and you almost died, and then somewhere in his mercy something happened, and then God brought you out and restored you. And so, like, you're like thinking, you understand love because you are forgiving much. When you tell somebody, I know God loves you, it's not a general statement. You know what you are saying. When you see people who make very strong decisions, look at their journey. They've been through certain things in their lives and they understand how God's grace brought them through. They didn't just show up and try to be Spider-Man. They actually walked a path. Abraham, remember that at some point he had to take 300 men into the battleground to fight how many kings? Three or five kings. And then he was able to save his brother, cousin Lot, nephew, and his family. And he didn't lose one man standing against three kings. No scratch on the body. Those boys never went to military school. All they knew about warfare was what Abraham taught them. And this is an 100-year-old man who had never fought a war, but had received training. He said, he teacheth my hands to war. He had received the commands of God in his spirit and could teach 300 men how not to die in a battle. There's wisdom that is from above. I said there's wisdom that is from above. 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 The Bible, on this side of eternity, we have the learning that comes by books. On that side of eternity, there's a learning that comes by the Spirit. When you plug deep into the Spirit, it begins to download files and materials into you. Then it runs the program into you. That program, the moment it clicks run, you begin to have certain experiences on this side of eternity. Sometimes you just notice there's no money in your account. Some other times he allows you to have money, he's running the program. Once the program is successfully installed, you now begin to walk in the grace that was installed, downloaded into you. God will not allow you to walk in anything he doesn't install through suffering. That's the learning of the Spirit. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? So Abraham didn't just show up and like, hey, I'm going to kill you today. That's probably I killed 300 men, but it's not, this is just one. Like, this guy is worth more. You see, many times we go through stuff that, and I need to get to my message. We need to get into stuff that are some things that look like conflicting prophecies. Because God said to you that I will give you a son, and this son will be your heir, and not that cheap servant. And then now you are hearing God saying something else. God, you are confused me. What exactly are you saying? You can't tell me she's one and then tell me she's not the one. I said no. What I'm saying is, see, you see conflict from your side of eternity. What I'm saying to you is that until you are willing to walk away from her, she's not yours. Until you are willing to walk away from her, she's not. I know I said she is the one, but you cannot show too much passion for her than you show for me. So I will ask you to walk away from her, and when I see your willingness, I'll say come back, it's yours. How willing are you to willing to walk away from Isaac? I know I said Isaac is yours, but can you walk away from it? I know I said that job is yours, but if I say step aside, can you step aside from it? There are certain things God gave to us that became strongholds and idols in our life. And God is looking at you and saying, I'm coming to do the crash party in your life right now. It's not going to be the devil. It's going to be God smashing every blessing he gave to you, taking it away from you, making you defenseless, making you helpless, and then making you wanting God again. So you look at some of the decisions that are required, and when you find that the grace to make those decisions is not readily available, you need to go and check the lessons you failed. When you've been hurt by somebody, when you have a younger brother that hurts you so bad, or this family member, or this guy who broke your heart, or this guy that never came through for you, or this guy who slept with you and walked away and behaved as if nothing happened. No feeling, no emotion, no remorse. It just happened. You deal with it. Move on. You look into his face and he's just blank. And you're wondering, it's just 24 hours. Yeah, last night. What happened? Said, what? He says, men are wicked. Yes, women too. You're looking into his face and you're like, how did I get? You begin to feel so less of yourself. Like, how did I allow myself get into that space? You're having to deal with that. Many times again, I repeat, God is not so bothered about what you did, but about your response. What is your response? Okay, you fell. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there? Are you going to wallow in self-pity? Or are you going to let God be the definition of who you are? Abraham had been used to trusting God without result. When they ask him how, he say, God is faithful. Do you know he's a great God? Do you know our God is faithful? Do you know that in our business, Abraham will not tell you about what is not working. He will tell you about all the things that are already working. He won't tell you about the part that he doesn't have a child. He won't tell you that he compromised, slept with his housemaid, but he will tell you, do you know God is a good God? Last year we went to the farm, we got 100%. This year's harvest, we got 110%. In your mind, looks like you are lying. What about the part that God hasn't done? Hey, I will sing of the praises of the Lord. With my mouth, I will make known of his faithfulness. Leave the other part. It's a work in progress. Then he will go back to his house and then he will weep. Say, what can you do for me seeing that I am childless? But when he comes outside, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who is like unto you, O God? You are faithful. They ask him to take testimony. He just holds the mic. Somebody scream, give God a mighty man. They're looking. If God has been good to you, shout, 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 and give some prayer. Like, Abraham will share testimony of his younger brother whose wife gave birth. He doesn't have. That's Abraham. That's it. Someone here. Abraham wasn't envious of other people's breakthrough. Abraham is a typical American. I can get married and choose not to have children. It's not family problem. Mom, we are not having kids. We just want to be us. And then mom will say, you know, I just have to respect their decision. Shut up. In Africa, you're kidding me. I will cane that madness out of you. Your own mother. I am your mother. I'm not a wicked mother. I had my own children. Your sister, she has 3 children already. Tunde, that doesn't like women, he has 2. You said, come. Just 1 year used in London. You came back all this nonsense. Come. I'm not a wicked mother. I want results. I'm coming back to visit you next month. Get to work. See, I'm not doing it well. You need to get to work. When we first got married, me and my wife agreed that for the first 1 year we are not having kids. And there's a 2-part to that story. Oh my God, I better just get. Are you getting blessed? Are you getting blessed? Even though I don't prepare message, but I actually have something written out. Are you getting blessed? So my mom called me. What's the problem? Now this is Benga talking now. What's the problem? I said, what do you mean? I changed my face. So whatever that thing is in your mouth, let it die. Don't even say anything. I'm not, you can say I'm not, this is not my real face. I'm not smiling. Say, your wife, I said, what about it? I respect parents. But I say it anytime I join couples or I preach at weddings. Sir, you've had your time. You are 65. You are almost dead. Let your son live his life. When my wife took me to her parents' house, and then I sat down like this, as a copper, so coordinated and gentle. I didn't drink anything. Before they give you amala, you put your hand. Say, the meat is very okay. Very okay. Very okay. This is the guy you want to marry. See, he finished your food. He did. You know some people. They I don't know. You see, I don't know some people. They are just sort of. You see, this mountain must be made it a plane. There's for you. There's not like okay. If I don't finish it, who is going to be eating leftover? Why don't you leave that for the owner of the house? Say, Father, let us pray. Father, the only time you pray with this when there's food in front of you. Father, we thank you because you are the mighty God. Is the ever you are talking about? So I got there and edged my. So I was, after I left, my father-in-law was asking her that, you know, they were talking about me. He now teased that, like, see the way two of you are baby as if you just met for the first time. You don't understand? Before you came here and said this guy, you'll be meeting somewhere under a tree. or somewhere talking and looking at yourself and deceiving yourself, and then all of a sudden he now came to me and said, as if he just appeared there, and you to just, you know, matter, and you deceiving yourself. So I told my mom, I said, we are taking our time. And then she started the old drama I described to you. Ah, me, I'm a wicked mother. I said, are you done? We are waiting. But after she left, after like 6 months, I just asked myself, overcome. This one that you say you are waiting, maybe you can't even impregnate a woman. You better do what, let's know where the problem is. In case there's a problem. So I went online. See, you better let me preach my message, because that message is a real message. Are we online? Okay, good. So I went online, and see, the truth is, don't let anybody fool you and make you feel like they always got it right. Some of these old people, including pastors, want you to feel like they always knew what to do. I don't care how perfect you are now, you didn't always know what to do. At some point in your life, somebody had to wait for you. Somebody had to dress you up. You messed up your clothes and somebody had to put you together. All of a sudden, because you've got a BlackBerry passport or something in your hand, and you just do your hand like this and wave it at everybody. Brother, sister, just one sickness, you lose all that glamour. So cool down. Cool down. Don't look down someone because it's so obvious the person is not attractive. You are just lucky. Nobody comes with the gift of beauty, with the kind of cash required, necessary cash. Even an Abiola can become a prince. MK Abiola can become a prince with the required cash. Huh? Because even you cannot allow your sister to marry that guy. When you hear cash in Mabu, and you see the bags of, in the days of Ghana must go, sitting in his room, and he just puts one leg here and puts the other one leg here, say, hey, it's okay, and the guy is okay. You see, in life is always about vision. We don't look at the outside, we look at the inside. Brother, this one has outside and inside. This one is about your makeup and your make inside. You have both. God, all of a sudden you are traveling to the ends of the earth. I just love, my husband is perfect, and he looks like a scarecrow. So Abraham was a combination of so many events. He didn't just show up. And please, don't just expect to just show up. When people look at you and say, oh, David has killed 10,000. The guy had to deal with rejection. Some of you, if you had to follow the way your parents raised you, you would be spoiled. They were so hard on you that they didn't even know they left the doors open for you to be spoiled. It would have happened right under their roof, but you chose something else. Big. They thought we raised our child. I know the daughter. You know the daughter. Your part was to show me what you want, what you thought I needed, but the decisions was actually mine to make. It's not just you. Somebody also chose not to be spoiled. I tell my son, once he's 18. See it, let's talk. What's your name? My name is Ayoluwa Joshua Shafer. Somto Chuku. His name is also Somto Chuku, if I'm Chuku. Most of you don't know, yeah. And then I'll say, okay, how old are you? So I'm 18. According to the laws of Nigeria, once you hit 18, you are eligible to go to jail. When you commit a crime, what does that mean, son? It means that you are now responsible for every action you take. If you go out there and soil the family name, it will be you in the dock, not me. Watch your steps from now on. We'll have that discussion. Say, God bless you. I'll see you when I see you. That's father-son talk. So wherever you go, whatever you do, know that the first beneficiary of the consequences is the man standing here. They only call me to inform me. And I'll come and sit and watch what the judge will say. And if it's also to collect an award, I will be there to clap for you. Watch your steps. So Abraham was a combination of all those developments. So that you are not just waiting for a mistake to happen to your destiny. No. You've got to be ready for it. Little successes here and there. Some of you don't even see the ability to start a book from cover to cover as an achievement. You don't start it, for you it's just one of those things. Because you probably read only one book last year. This book you didn't finish half this year. You've never gone out to deliberately buy a book. Deliberately. I didn't say you went to a bookstore and just saw something. I said deliberately. The way you shop for your clothes, it shows your sense of value. The way you are watching television, the way you watch television for hours, if the people you are watching were living like that, who will watch them? You don't understand? Just sit down. The way those people are, if they were doing like you, sitting down watching television, who will watch them? So get up and get busy. Amen. Okay. Everything comes down to issue of capacity. This is building capacity part 9. Maybe we should start preaching something from next week. No, God will be fasting from the 6th to 12th. You can even 6th, 17th, and you can we'll end that fasting with a worship meeting and just worship and worship and worship and worship and worship. And if you can take it beyond that, fine. Why not? I want to share something with you. It's part of my message, though. Yeah, did you get anything? Please. I can preach at you and you just begin to whoop and whoop and whoop. But I don't want to. Let's help each other. Certain things you need to know about people of capacity. I want to just list it out. Things to know. This subtopic is things to know. Things to know. People of capacity must know the power of getting their results from above. Let me repeat. I say people of capacity know how to get results from heaven. They don't look at man. Let me tell you, even when you need money and I ask you, except the Spirit of God minister to you, you cannot give me. Even if you have it in your pocket. You may ask somebody that have money, he will not give you. The one that doesn't have will share his own with you. Yes. It's called grace. Yes. There's a grace for giving. Everything you asked and you got, don't think it was because the person had. It was the grace God administered to that person. Many times the person gave you all he had and stayed hungry. You didn't know. Yes. You must learn how to get your result from above. People of capacity, it's a knowledge that you must have in you, that before you begin to look to man for help, take out time. Don't rush God. Don't put God on a time. They don't use wristwatch in heaven. This thing was invented by a man. God has never warned anyone. In you are the one who knows all the designers. As far as he's concerned, they are not born again. We accumulate idols to ourselves and call it designers. When, as a person of capacity, you know that if you have a challenge in front of you, if your husband is being unreasonable, you have no business trying to talk to him, go into your prayer room. What sustains a relationship is what gave birth to it. You are looking for a fine girl, you got it. But I also tell you that the beautiful ones are not yet born. If that was your main motivation, just hang around. Just a little bit more. You will see some. Have you seen a man who went out to the club and then came home and was beating his wife? Why is your destiny like this? Why are you like this? You are just like this. Oh, you don't realize you made her that way. After 7 children, you expected her to be trim and proper. Did you walk her to the gym? You are just like that girl that you think is so trim and proper and, you know, to the details, is because you are not married to her. When she starts having children, or when he starts, you know, when he moves you into his house, now notice that there are other things. Like Arsenal. And when he's watching his ball, nobody talks to him. Except you're an Arsenal fan. And that at some point he will choose certain things over you. Including not wanting to talk to you. Now, deal with it. That you're not going to float on cloud nine forever. You've got to wash clothes. You've got to cook. And when the food doesn't get ready in time, I thank God for the cherubims in your life, but somebody is going to answer.
Yes.
Somebody is going to answer. If I'm fasting, let me know I'm fasting. When I'm not fasting, please can I have some food? Coming from those who are married. Eh? That when you man chooses above every other thing, he's not making that choice on emotion. Value. I know you married me, but are you my value wife? Have you grown to become my value husband? Would I choose you again with what I already know about you? Because 1 month of marriage, you will learn more than 10 years of courtship. Do you know there are people? Let me tell you what happened. The other day, Bank Anthony came here. You remember? On his birthday. He stayed in the office and then he was shaking. Yeah. What's going on here? I feel the power of God. I can't control myself. I said, cool down. This is our own environment. See, I only feel like this when I'm in a place where people have prayed for a long time. I say, hey, we do that all the time. Ah, man of God. I said, don't worry, but me and 10 minutes later, I'll call you. Just come join us. Anytime we are together at his own end, he sees me as a world person. There are things about your wife who know until you marry, and vice versa. So I'm saying, based on this knowledge you are now having, will I still choose you? You must be the value husband, not just husband. The word husband means to till, cultivate. So are you just married or are you actually husband? So you, at least you know why she keeps saying no to you. Comment as when a lady is saying no to you, it's not that you're not answering, it's just that she's not saying that something is off about you. It's not a toss here, the Lord. There's something, it's a value, there's a dysfunction somewhere. Something is wrong. I can hear your tongues, but I can see your prophetic anointing, but something's off about you. Look like a wife beater. Something about your hands look very, very slappy. Very slappy. Yeah, I slap you into default settings. Slap baptism. I need to show you that video. I have this video. Slap baptism. Just reset you. I deliver you in Jesus' name. You should please. That's not where to show your fighting skills. You go to WWF or fight a mopo. Take it up with a soldier. Fight your level. Or Agbero. If you don't even like soldiers, try an Agbero or somebody. Please. Let's be serious. Stop taking it out on the young lady. Find your level. Oh, come on. People of capacity realize that they've got to be bigger on the inside than they are on the outside. that if there's anything you are seeing on them in their lives on the outside that you appreciate, it's because they've taken time to grow on the inside. And how do you grow? By learning. Even when you seek God, do you know there are people that they come into God's presence and the power of God is so strong and they feel so intense, yet they are shallow. I don't know, maybe you are not hearing me. Let me repeat. I said there are people that when they come to God's presence, oh hallelujah, you touch them, they can fall under the anointing, or even some assault, some specialize in some assaulting. There's some assault and some assault, some assault. When I was in secondary school, way back, and I hope you are hearing some, because you guys are just laughing. You guys don't listen when I talk. You got to listen. Hear what I'm saying. I said when I was in primary school, I used to do these backflips. I could do like 15. Pia, 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 pia. I could stand on a wall. I'm talking about me now. I don't have that body anymore. But way back, I could stand on the wall and somersault backwards and stand on my feet. Way back, yeah. Then, of course, you know, I went to a command secondary school, so we got some of those military training. And yeah, it was, for me, it was just for, we even have one called Bahanu. Except you're in the north, you won't know. Bahanu means no hand. You somersault without using your hands for support. Thank you. You would know. For us, it was just fun. Forget about the fact that some people made money from it. It took them to the Olympics. For us, it was just fun. But right now, you know, I just realized that I can't even... I remember those days. I'm like, wow, that was some time. We didn't have all the money. Nobody was talking on money. We had family. We had relationships. But for that thing to happen on the outside, it must have happened on your inside. If you are someone who is very athletic, you notice that thing happened, and that was what Ose was saying when he said, in his teaching, how did he put it? He said, if your mind can get over it, your body will follow. You must learn to be bigger on the inside. When you study, you're not studying because your leader in church study. You have seen the value of study. Scripture says, study to show yourself approved. In other words, if you don't study, regardless of what you carry, you are out. That's heaven's verdict. Paul could have said, I had such a prophetic encounter on the road to Damascus, and I just know that I am called to the ministry, and I even now as I speak to you, I sense the power of God. And then he went and started teaching people the laws of Moses, because he is garbage out. Truthfully, God appeared to you. What you are saying have no bearing with him. So the first thing God did was to take him to a place where he could be alone. Those scriptures you already know. Let me redefine them. The people of capacity know that they must always come to a place of redefinition. Sir. They know that what they used to think about yesterday is not always what it's going to be today, because the warfare now may be different. So you can take some of those principles, but you need to add something. Say, add to your faith, diligence and virtue. There's always something to add there. Don't just be comfortable and think, yesterday it was 3 hours prayer. Today you might need 7 hours, sir. Don't be lazy. People of capacity know there's always something to add. So they learn. They always study. When you see me, when I study prophetic books, I study like I'm a beginner. I read like I'm a beginner, because I know that this is my realm. People experience the prophetic diversely. So I try to read in between the lines to understand. I'm studying like I'm a freshman in the prophetic school. I study because I don't want to get into error. You've got to be bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. People of capacity know the power of exposure. People of capacity, they know the power of exposure. They know the power of exposure. They don't just sit in the spot and expect the world to come to them. They explore the presence of God. They want to know how deep the river is. They want to know how much they can stand. They can accumulate to themselves. When they come to church, they are not just trying to fit in and be a workout, trying to do stuff. They are seeing, God, I need to be exposed to you. Moses was walking the power of God in the anointing of God, but he got to a point, he was talking, he said, God, please, sorry, can I ask something? I want to see you. Yeah, I know you are here and all of that. What do you look like? I don't want to be... It was the same request he made that Paul was also making. That I may know him. I want to know the power that raised him from the dead. The power of resurrection. When the blocked those places with military officers and put a huge stone on that in that tomb, and they said, let us see how one man can throw the stone away. Because people always think that your help is trapped. People always think that if you can take away his job, take away his business, take away his wife, make us sick, make you financially down and you lose all your business contact, we can trap you in a tomb. But your help is not even from the mountains. The Bible says my help is from the Lord. If God needs to send an angel, he will do it. God is short of supply. God has enough help on your side. When it was time for Jesus to rise up, God didn't need Jesus to roll the stone. All he needed was for him to collect the keys. Once he collected the keys from Satan, there was an angel already standing, waiting for the third day, waiting for the third day. Many times we gave up because we didn't know there was a perfect timing. There was a perfect season. We got destroyed and messed up because we thought God forgot about us. Hey! He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never sleeps, never slumber. Oh, that was your verdict. If God could show up at the age of 100. Hey, are you still here? Still want that baby? Hey. When you walk with God, throw away your wristwatch. It has never worked with him. This old, do you know your biological clock is... Hey. In those days, people got married at 69, 70. And they live for 900 years. Are you still here? There's nothing wrong with you. You've got to speak to yourself. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't let the devil sell a lie to you. There is nothing wrong. It's not the devil. There is no cause. Nigeria by nature is problematic. There's no job outside. There's no money. It's not the devil attacking your finance. It's the way the economy is. Dollar is 500 now. You just forget. Relax. What do you have, Gary? Let's drink. Celebrate the moment. Learn how to live on little. Learn how to thrive on little. The devil won't be able to sell a lie to you. Because he knows that this one is a useless guy. He even has scriptures to support his condition. Are you still here? That's why you see sounds like, I've got my mind made up, and I will turn back, and I will see my Jesus someday. When there's nothing to look forward to, we look up. Even if I miss all the things on earth, I will not miss Jesus. I will not miss heaven. Heaven at last. Heaven only. For you to get some kind of exposure, you must be willing to attempt something you've never attempted. You may not know certain levels of knowledge until you step out of the boat. Others will see that when Peter walked on that water. I have scripture, so I don't have time. Did you notice when Peter stepped out on the boat? We are not looking for analysts. We want to talk to the guy who actually stepped on the water. Please, can you tell us what was it like? So when I stepped out, I knew I would sink, but I stepped out on his word. So I was standing on his word, not water. Well, I know that if he said step out, then I won't sink. I know if I kept my focus, I won't sink. So I stepped out on the word, I didn't step out on water. If you're willing to go out of that comfort zone, you've got to know that you can close today with a different bank balance. You've got to know in your heart that anything you touch from today has 100% capacity to succeed. You are not whether it will or it will not. There's no gainsaying about it. You've gone past that. From today, anything I touch sells. It's just a knowledge that will come to you. That from today I am working in freedom. It's a knowledge that comes to you based on the word of God. Based on the word of God, you are willing to take a step out of your comfort zone. People of capacity know that if you are not willing to step out, you cannot grow in your capacity. When we first moved to this place, the old church was here. This old place. That was where I used to preach. The altar used to be there. This was where we used to have seats. Here. Just imagine. As in everybody sat here. Every. And with spaces. Lots of spaces. So you want to grow? Push down the wall. Then. This place is too big. Too big. Sorry. Too small. Because now it's too small. But when we were doing, I didn't want to do it. It's too. Create space. Create space. Create space. Don't worry about what God will do. Create space. Just go ahead and create space. Tell people you can do that thing. Tell people you are a business developer. Tell people that you can bring certain type of fabrics for them if they need. Tell them you can make smoothies. Tell them you can take orders for certain things. Tell them you are up for it. Tell them you have a network of businessmen who can handle certain types. Tell them we can manage your job on your site and be site engineers, and you will get exactly what you are paying for. Tell them, because when vision is being born, you have to speak for it. It is when vision has matured that it will begin to speak for itself. That's in Habakkuk chapter 2. When a vision is being born, nobody will believe it. You are the only one that knows God told you anything. Just one of those things. Everybody's coming up with different things now and saying, God said. Everybody, it looks like the most popular thing. God said. Who didn't God talk to? All of a sudden, it begins to arrange. And then this, people are like, wow, I knew God. Yeah, you didn't know nothing. Because if you knew something, you would have joined me to make it happen. But you didn't believe and you didn't think it would work out. So, hey. Everybody is God said because it's working. God said is just what Christians say when they want to start something. That's the mindset. So initially, when you are starting something, you've got to give it a voice. You've got to give it a voice. The first law of bringing something from that is realm to this realm is through words or utterances. That is the gateway into the earth realm. That is the gateway into the earth realm. When God says something to you in prophecy, as you waited on Him, as you fasted and as you prayed, the first thing to do is to give voice to it. That is the gateway into the earth realm. That is the gateway into the earth realm. It doesn't matter how powerful what God said is. If you don't give voice to it, it stays there. It doesn't matter. If God calls you a person of influence, if you don't give voice to it, a loaded gun. Makavolo shata. Hallelujah. A loaded gun that you refuse to pull the trigger is useless. You may have all the bullets on the inside. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. When Jesus showed up on the scene, He didn't go there saying, I want to educate you before I begin to. He said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He didn't let anybody define Him. He didn't even give Peter an opportunity to confuse Him. He knew who He was on the inside. If you are talking about people of capacity, I'm talking about people who have self-recognized themselves. Self-recognition. You know who God says you are. You identify, you wear it as a badge, you wear it as a mantle. You know that you're a prophet, you know that you're an apostle, you know that you're anointed to do business and to prosper. You know that you have the anointing of prosperity over your head. You know you have got the anointing of leadership. You know that God has raised you to be a model to help people, and you call yourself by that ever before you get there. People of capacity. I can show you scriptures for everything. Just I believe you can. We can flow like this. Can we? Can we just move along? You must be willing to step out of the boat. Don't get too comfortable just trying to celebrate little successes. Stop celebrating little successes. You've got to wake up. The journey is far. Say, Elijah, eat. The guy was ranting, but when the angel came, he said, hey, Don't talk. Heat. Elijah didn't know how much energy he dissipated when he faced 400 prophets. And I say to you that many times you don't know how much energy. You thought the plan of the devil was to mess you up and make you homeless or make you look stupid. No, the plan of the devil was to take away your family from you. But God softened the effect of that thing and you just lost your home briefly. Briefly. I said what? Briefly. If you see the attack, the way it was coming from the spirit realm, you would have run. You would just run into eternity. You will run out of earth into eternity. But because of your prayers, God applied the brakes and you just felt the breeze. And yeah, everything is going haywire. Ah, you should have seen what was coming. People of capacity. People of capacity, they are not born in convenience. They are not born in God. They are not the high five kind of people. Everything is all right. They are not high five people. They know they've got a job to do. They know they didn't just show up. They were born for this. They were born for a reason. They knew that if there was any representative of God upon the earth, it would be them. They are looking for a prophet elsewhere. He's here. If there was any intercessor that was born, yes, we've seen Charles Finney, we've seen Kenneth Hagin, but hey, this is our time. Yeah, we're not waiting for Hagin anymore. We're not waiting for Hagin. We're not waiting for Hagin. We're not waiting for all them fathers of faith. It's our time. When it was their turn, they took the stage. It's my turn. Come on, I take the stage. People of capacity, they know how to delegate. They know how to delegate. They know that no matter how powerful a vision is, they can't actualize it alone. They know that when God calls you, God didn't just call you. He calls you with people. He knows that there are people that have skill set that can help get the vision to the next level. That most times what you have is just vision. But the provision is locked up in somebody else. So it is male and female made in them. God will give the vision to a man. He will give the ability to a woman. And here you say, they are the weaker sex. See your mouth. Weaker sex. You can't carry a baby for one day. Do you know how to go through birth pains? Huh? You that they just put small salt inside the food, you are shouting. What kind of wife did I marry? Can't you just get it right? Went out this morning, came back to salty food. I thought you even cook something reasonable. You said you made indomie. For Christ's sake, which woman cooks indomie for her husband at night after working all day? I know you still want to talk about money. It's not a crime for your wife not to know what to do. It's a crime if after she married you, she doesn't know what to do. That's leadership. So stop screaming at her and get to work. Stop screaming at her. Stop embarrassing yourself. Because yourself, you're embarrassing. God gave the vision to a man. Because when God compared the earth to Adam, Eve was not there. But God realized that for balance of power, he created a diversion, a separation between executive and legislation. You see the vision. She will give you the wisdom needed to carry it. One of the greatest mistakes you can make is to look down on your wife. Yes, it's a lawyer. You shoot yourself in the leg. Because when eventually they want to come for you, Lucifer will come through her. Must learn how to delegate. Your wife represents you 100%. Don't choose your family over your wife. Don't choose your family over your wife. I said, don't choose your family over your wife. You get married tomorrow, don't choose your family over your wife. She is your wife. Maybe I need to begin to explain to you what a wife is. Because if you see that woman, you can permit me for the use of grammar, but you see, if you don't cultivate her till she moves from young woman to wife, she becomes a knife. A knife. That is what will be used to take her out eventually. If she's not a wife, she's a knife. You got to be ready. If you cannot bring out the best in a lady, don't marry. It's not a sin not to marry. You can choose to stay single and be sharing your epignosis with yourself and share your revelation with yourself and mess up in the spirit, but don't marry. Do everything but don't marry. When you want to be married, the number one law of success is patience. What does the law of patience say? You didn't get it today, but tomorrow is another day. You get it tomorrow. I'm patient. We are not in a rush. Let's grow together. And in case you are thinking, oh, the guy standing in front of you is all made up, you ask my wife. I'm not the most patient. I am not the most patient person in the world. I don't like having my bath. I can wake up and not take my bath at 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. every day. That's me. That's being honest. I know you won't admit, but I'm talking to you about me right now. But right now, even if it's 12 in the night and I'm about to go to bed, I say, baby, now I think I just need to have a shower before I go to bed right now. But it took us 7 years to get me there, where I can even be having bath 3 times a day. See, why will you go to bed without having your bath? You feel sticky. What sticky? What are you talking about? And Dola said, oh, the old man will not only have his bath, he will brush his teeth. Say, you want to kiss me? Don't get close to me. All those ogbon, yeah, you just stay away from me. Stay away from me. I said, oh boy, man, if he married Dola, but I'm still complaining about my wife to Dola. Dola, I say, only that one. Your wife is very. You have to brush your teeth. So every day we are investing in close up, making money for some people. I should just start my own close up business. And they know that we are importing from the source. People of capacity know how to delegate. They know they can't do everything. They know they can't do everything. It doesn't matter how anointed you are, you can't do everything. Whether it's on the home front, whether it's on the business front, pray and ask God to send you men. That's Matthew chapter 10, is there. Last verse. Whatever it is the Lord puts in your hand, you are frustrated because you are alone. When you get married, you know your friends also can change. You can now start moving with people who are married like yourself. You even remember to call those your other friends who are also married. And those ones that are still watching the game, just be encouraging them from a distance. It's safe for you to ask the Lord for your own friend at your level. Somebody that when you are speaking a language, you will say, it is where. No, let us pray. Because she understands what we are talking about. If my wife wanted to report me, would she report me to you? Because you are not married. It's common sense. It's not prayer, it's just common sense. Whatever God has put in your hands, the difference between this phase and the next phase of your business is the power of delegation. Finding the right people and delegating. That's all. Have you gone into some office on the island? All they do is an investment company. See desks, see office table, see all of that. This person is in charge of portfolio management. This person is in charge of investments coming from Dubai and areas, those areas. Somebody is looking at local businesses. Everything is just one table and they are telling you it's 3 departments. This table, the only thing they do there, they look for cheap funds. People who can bring money, they give them 5% per annum and all of that. Some of these desks, they are looking for only foreign business. So that person is always on internet. You wonder why the person is always showing green on Facebook and you are chatting and she's not responding. Just because I'm showing green doesn't mean I'm available. I don't know if you are getting anything. You've got to prioritize. Learn the power of delegation. You can move your business from your mind shop to a world shop. Find the right set of people and delegate to them. Commit things to them. Watch them fail. Encourage them. Then move again. Because you are once like that. Give people a chance. You've got to realize that God can do more with the people he has given you than he can do with you. I said, you've got to realize that God can do more with your staff, with your staff members than he can do with you. Do you know what a staff is? The rod of Moses was a staff, but if he extends it, he extends beyond his hand. Do you notice? You hold a staff and you do like this, it extends beyond you. Your staff, the people that you delegate and you teach and you impact and you teach leadership principles, they can go further than you because you've multiplied yourself into the five of them. So they will achieve times five of you. Don't look down on them. Don't be afraid they will leave you. Let them leave you. Wherever they go, they will see your signature on them. They are meant to leave. They've got to leave. They've got to provide for their own house. At some point, they want to get married. At some point, they want to start building their own houses. Deal with it. Nobody's staying anywhere forever. In the whole of universe, God guarantees only one person, your wife. That's all. So pray she lives long. And that you stay alive too. I got to run. Things you must find. Are you getting anything? Quickly, things you must find. You must identify your primary gift. Or your major gift, your core gift. You've got to identify that thing that most defines you, that God has put on your inside and most defines you. You find people like Prophet Kenneth Hagin, and you find that that is just his primary gift, his ability to teach. He has a teaching anointing, and you find that it circles anything he does in his ministry. You find someone like Miles Muro, that his primary gift is leadership, and you find that everything he does, it speaks in those places. Miles Muro didn't take his leadership gift and gave credit to any book he was reading. He traced it back to God. Take your gift back to the source. That's why the gift is not working well. Because you think it was some book you read or something you did or one conference you attended, you got it wrong. The conference was supposed to polish you. The conference was supposed to polish you. Polish what is already on the inside. You came ready. There's nothing you are carrying on your inside that you are not born with. There's nothing that you are manifesting now that you are not born with. Your ability to go to court and argue out a case, it was inside there. If you are not someone that talks, attend all the legal classes and all the law classes, you will pass exam, but you cannot win any case in court. You've got to like an argument. You must strive on arguments. You must enjoy it. You don't run away. Say, no, let's not talk about it. Let us talk about it. You've got to love it. You've got to love it. You've got to love it. And don't make excuses for who you are. That is who you are. Don't apologize to anybody. Now, Mike Tyson, boxer, your best option, don't marry him. And I advise you take that option. Identify your core gift. It is very key to advancement in life, advancement in ministry, advancement in your marriage. Even in your marriage, you must understand the core gift that you require. Understand whether that gift in you will escalate or calm the marriage or kill the marriage. Because if your core gift is argument, you love a good fight. I remember when I'm driving on the road and we are just going, and I see two people fight. I'm telling my wife, see, focus on where you are going. I'm like, let me, I'll just slow down. Look. Oh, you guys got a crazy pastor, man. I mean, I'm like, see, these are the parts of me people don't know. I'm like, Fushiko. But how can you? But it's like, how will a woman be love people fighting? That's your pastor, I'm telling you. Like, I'm not slow down the car. You know, this Nigeria is everywhere at every bus stop, where you have agberos. So, yeah, and then they start, you know, all those their slang. In my mind, when I'm passing, give it to him. Give it to him. Reset his everything. His destiny. Now, you don't need that gift in a marriage. Are you still with me? You don't need that gift in a marriage, but I'm saying identify your core gift. Number two, I said find your core gift. Number two, find your core team. your core team. Core, C-O-R-E, team, team. Jesus chose 12 men after praying. He didn't just go looking for the Pharisees who knew all the Bible. He went for the ones that didn't know anything and saw something in them that wasn't Pharisees. If he wanted to make his job easy, he could have gone to the knowledgeable people. Paul was already alive then, just didn't go for him. You don't understand. I said that you came late to the party doesn't mean they denied you. Paul was around Peter's age mate. Jesus didn't go to him. Just must have seen him one day in the temple, just memorizing the Quran or whatever they want. Just say, you want here? Just go and sit down. I don't have your time yet. And you take Peter, smelling fish. When you see him, his work is in the night. Peter works, does night shift. Because that's when you can get the real fishes. So you are talking to a boy, I don't tire, I won't go sleep. See, Oga, take the sheep, I go. That kind of Peter. Peter doesn't have time because he works hard. No time for this. Our time is night. You want to do crusade or VG, you will not see me. Because our work is in the night. Peter, Matthew, when can we have this meeting? Matthew say, I'm an accountant, we work 8 to 5. Let's do it in the night. Peter said, sir, if you try it, you won't see me. What was Jesus learning? How to harmonize decisions. Bring people's thoughts together. He brought two opposing people together and made them apostles. He didn't look for people who are always saying, yes, sir, amen, we love you, you are too much, pastor. He brought people that say, hey, okay. I don't say be pastor, but just lock your office door. That one way you do, you know the deal. Wait till they worry. See, you are a pastor, you are my pastor. This one, sir, I don't agree. Not yes, man. Everything, yes, sir. Everything, yes, sir. Everything, yes, sir. You now wonder why the guy suddenly crashed. System crash. Because you could not identify something as simple as your core team, the people that should be in your space. If God has given you a vision, you need to find the people that can take the vision and hone it. They can drive it. People who are thinking of possibilities. What can this group do that will touch the earth? What can this set of business-minded people do that will take this business from this room into the office? Don't look for people that will say yes, sir. Look for people that will criticize you. People that can look at you and say, sir, this will not be anointing you, not leadership. Find your core gift. Find your core team. Find your covenant partners. We are talking about building capacity here. Hear me good. Find your covenant partners. Always be in a place where David can find Jonathan. Don't just be caught up in your anointing. Don't just be caught up in what God has done to you or what God is going to do to you. Be open-minded. Peradventure, there's someone standing in the corner that God has put in your space. But because you are too blinded and too self-seeking and too like, I'm the greatest man of God in the area or whatever, shut up. Look around you. She may not look like it, but she's it. He may not look like it, but he is it. We don't make judgments after the flesh. I didn't used to look like this. Come now and look at my wedding picture. I look like a baby getting married. Are you listening to me? But I'm not that way anymore. Are you hearing me? My wife was checking my wife. She says she's seen strands of gray hair already. I'm not 40 yet. Deal with it. This generation has gone beyond the issue of how old are you? So how old are you? I'm even older than you. This is where you are. How old you are? When 28-year-old Mark Zuckerberg, as at then, was sitting as the fifth or sixth richest person in the world, you in Africa. Say, can you imagine my younger brother's age mate? See the way she's just behaving. Whether you hate Mark or not, you must have a Facebook account. If you post something Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like, he will block you. He created a system, put himself around a team that can detect. Once you are in their space, they shots. Don't just use Facebook. Look at what they are doing. And don't tell me Mark can be seen everywhere. You see him when he's jogging, but you don't see him around certain people. He knows his core friends, his covenant friends, the people that when he wants to share an idea, people that can say, you know, I really think that is possible. Not people that say, how? Even if the windows of heaven should open. We confuse spirituality for hollowness. People are hollow. They are empty on the inside. And they try to make you feel like they are being spiritual with their responses. Hollowness, emptiness on the inside. And they garnish it with scriptures. I'm not talking about hollowness. Find your covenant partners. People will see as you see. They may not be more than five. Usually they are not up to five. Just one hand. Just one hand. When you need faith for that next phase of your life, come into their space and say, brother, what do we do? I remember several years ago, about 3 years ago, I was there, but I just called Bishop. I said, you know, let's go to MFM camp, just pray. And then we started driving, and just as we got to, we're going to make the turning and head back towards Lagos and drive into MFM camp, somebody lost control of his car. They were going for their wedding and almost ran into us, and I braked, and I was the one driving, and then we parked, and I was like, Bishop was almost going to be like, you know, the old soldier boy, you know, but when he saw that it was a wedding, you know, I said, just calm down. I thought, just be thanking God though. This is a breakthrough. The devil, you know, we started playing the old Yoruba thing, you know, and all of that. If it were you, just say, oh boy, this is a great victory. Let's go back home. After we finished helping them unpack the things that fell off the truck, we drove into MFM camp. We prayed together first, then we split camps. Everybody was taking his work. I'm doing his own prayer. Then we came back after a certain time, and then we held hands and began to pray. I didn't know I was going to pastor. Hey! We just pray. I said, next time we'll come, we should come with our wives. What do you think? Say, find your core team. They don't have to be like you, but they must have seen eyes, hearing ears. When you talk, they can see the pictures, they can see the images forming clearly. So, you know, they are saying something. There are people with scars, people who are falling, people who God has raised up again. They are captains, not because they can speak well, but because they know where God brought them from. They are like David, rejected. Nobody believed in them. Even their brothers didn't believe in them. Till he got all the certifications of this earth that earned him the throne. Find your covenant partners. Don't just get caught up. Thank God for friends. Find your covenant partners. Those ones are for life. Are you hearing me? Keep your open eyes. Keep your open eye open. You don't know who is who, because you just met this person. Adam knew his wife as a woman before he discovered her as his wife. So somebody could be in your space now, and the person might, God might have chosen that person to be more than just your friend. But if you are careless, you won't know that. That is my party. Find your core team. Find your core gift. Find your covenant partners. Number four, find yourself. Nobody can interpret your prophecy better than you. Nobody can tell you who you are more than you. Jesus stood on that stage and he said in Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Nobody will speak your prophecy for you. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Are you hearing me? It's a closed destiny. You've got to see who you are based on who God says you are. Find yourself. All those experiences, all those pains could not just have been just pains and challenges. Find yourself. For once, can you be selfish? Find yourself. One man couldn't find himself, and when God got to the garden, he had to ask him, Adam, where are you? The first task towards redemption was God finding Adam. Find yourself. Can you take a piece of paper and with a pen and begin to write everything you know about you? They are asking you to assess some Igotome. Who is Igotome? Based on your own explanation and description. Find yourself. You will find that inside of you is a lion. that all those things that almost made you give up were the lies that the devil sold to you. Those things that the devil made you feel like you will never amount to anything. That you will live in this one room apartment till you die. You will never get married. Your fiancé is going to leave you. They are going to break your heart eventually. Somebody is going to walk away from you. You will never have a baby. Your past is going to come hunting after you. Hey! Find yourself. I know this is what happened to me, but who am I? Things you must become. I've already shared with you what capacity people know, what they must find, what you must become. You must become a person of prayer. People of capacity must become, because these are not things that you become naturally. You have to grow yourself into it. You have to grow yourself into it. You have to put yourself into it. If you are sleeping, you must get a prayer partner. Don't just sleep off. Don't explain away your laziness. Don't make people feel like it's just one of those things. Get a friend that can put you on the spot. Pray yourself into it. Pray yourself into it. Keep the vision in front of you. Pray yourself into it. There's no celebration till we see answers. There's no celebration till we see answers. If you give up, it's over. They'll blow the whistle on you before the game is over. You've got to wake up and get people like yourself who are hurting. David must find other frustrated men and bring them to Adullam. It is only in that place that mighty men can rise in the earth. If David was looking for a Jonathan, there's a limit to what a Jonathan can do for him. Because Jonathan lives in the palace. He sleeps in the palace. He's a child of fortune. I mean, prosperity smiled on him. But for David, his prophecy made him a fugitive. His prophecy made him an outcast. He was worse just before the prophecy came. And he was most terrible after the prophecy came. I thought the prophecy was supposed to make me better. I thought the prophecy was supposed to make, after that anointing and falling under the anointing and all that Samuel demonstration, I thought they would just bring the throne to me in front of my father and say, "Sit down, King of Israel." God made David wait for another 40 years because the prophecy must be tested. Affliction must arise for the word's sake. If you receive a prophecy and there's no corresponding attack, you didn't hear God. If you receive a prophetic word and nothing is testing the quality, it's called test results. In our project, final project, we have a section where we carry out our test, give out our questionnaires, and then we test the result to see if it is valid. To see if it is valid. How come? How dare you say you have a prophecy and you are just kulele like that? Just relax like that. Nothing is testing your resolve. Nothing is testing your determination. All you have is just words. Brother, no prophecy. When you receive the word, you will see the birds flying, trying to pick them. You must be like the seed. When he sees the bird, he begins to go deeper and cover himself up with soil. Because until a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, you say the fear here is actually the fear of death. We prefer to be on the surface where we can see what's going on outside and see what is going on inside. But if you do that, you are going to see the birds, the hawks and the eagles. They begin to swim and hover over you, and they're like, "We are going to pick the seed out," just like Jesus said about the sower of the seed, the sower and the seed. So they begin over. But when you see those attacks, bury yourself in the word of God. Hide yourself in the word of God. Become a person of prayer. Cover yourself with death. Cover yourself with death and die. Must be a person of prayer. Don't fake death. Die. Many of us are faking death. We did that when we were very young children. Just like this, an article, you know, now wake up. Stop faking that. Die. Die to your own purpose. Die to everything you cooked up for yourself. Die to every struggle of trying to make it. Die to, "I must make a name and show them in December because I'm going to worry." Sorry, Anambra. Everything that wants to make you perform, die to it. So that the purpose of God can begin to live on your inside. So the purpose of God can begin to live on your side. God has a better plan, brother. God has a better plan. All that plan you've got for yourself, they are just plans. God has a better plan. You must become a person of the word of God. Scripture says, "Let the word of God abide in you," what? "Richly." Before you, God can trust into your hands the true wealth, you must end this wealth. I read of this man, this Zimbabwean man, Masiria Strive, Masiria, who said that if he's very busy in a day, he reads the Bible for 4 hours. On a very busy day, he reads the Bible for 4 hours. If you read the guy's write-up, it's almost like the guy standing for you. Very, very powerful write-ups. Go check Facebook and check the guy out. Very powerful write-up. Very inspiring. For a 4 hour read every day. But you read every other thing. You read James Hadley Chase, and you read them Kardashian. You read, you see, if reading can be either sight or sound. So it's not just because it's television, you are reading. The result of your reading, whether it's positive or negative, is either in the dullness of your mind or in how sharp you become. But you notice that you kept watching all those things, the only thing you got out of it was how to walk naked. And I noticed that your capacity for being on point and being able to make critical decisions started reducing. My brother, my sister, is what you are reading. Become a person of the word of God. Say, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. They are spirit. There's nothing wrong with fashion. I said, where you are getting your information from matters. One will breed corruption. One will breed eternal life. Who told you to do what you are doing? Number 3, become a person of covenant. Let's read Psalm chapter 50 and verse 5. Sorry, I couldn't read so much scriptures. I have lots of them in there, but wow. Gather together to me, my saints, those who have found grace in my sight, those who have made a covenant with me. By what? By sacrifice. Become a covenant person. Let your relationship with God be covenant based. Don't become a Christian because you stayed around and then you heard something and then you came out to give your life. Don't become born again because you're a pastor's kid. Go out into the world and enjoy yourself. When you hear the gospel, come back. You can be born on the altar, named after the altar, ordained on the altar, marry on the altar, die on the altar, go to hell on the altar. Your location is not an issue. What is on your inside, what you actually believed, is the issue. Are you see here? God is looking for covenant people. People who swear their life to his purpose. People who have no other reason to live. They are not in this to make money. If they make money, it's for the kingdom. If God doesn't give them money, it's for the kingdom. Whichever way they win. When you get to that point in your work with God, the devil knows that just leave this one. He's a madman. I've never categorized, say, look, assistant Satan, I've been on this journey for years. I've never categorized anybody as a madman. You see this one? He's a madman. Mad. We gave him poverty. He shared revelation with it. Gave him money. He still saw one scripture in Bible to support it. He's mad. Because he's saying conflicting things. I think we need to move to other things. Let's leave this one. It's as if he's deliberately wasting our time. I stand Satan and said, I studied him, but the mystery was too deep for me. And it will be ever deep for you. People who will explain God away at any reason. Even when he doesn't show up. Where is your God? My God is in the heavens. He doeth what pleases him. If he needed to come, he would have come. Is that why your son is dead? Yes. He's not dead. He's with Jesus. Perspective is everything. Because you are not always in Magodo. But if you are waiting for Magodo to happen, it won't happen. Become a person of balance. People, what you must become? Become a person of balance. Don't just say, oh, they are talking about money. Oh, they are talking about this. Oh, they are talking about that. Brother, you need it. Brother, you need it. Nothing can be more annoying than when your wife asks you for money. and you give you give her your ATM card, knowing that there's no money inside. And then, you know, your wife used to be an ex-karate, this thing, Man-O-War. When we were on campus, she joined Man-O-War. That gave her ATM card. I watched the MC Relax, did a comedy, and he gave his, he promised the girl all his life. The girl asked for money. He gave the girl the ATM card. Meanwhile, they have not paid Copa Lawi for like 3 months. He gave the girl the card so she can carry her while and go. As the girl left like 20 minutes, he just saw a lot. They've paid, they paid a lot. The guy started pushing the girl. Because now the girl is going to withdraw something. Do I call customer care to block my card? Do I for sure? What should I do? His friend came. My friend, I gave Amaka my ATM card. There is no money now. Yeah, see a lot. Amaka would have gotten to the ATM. I said, Kule is just so nice. Kule will give me anything. Oh, really? Kule made a mistake. Oh boy. It, you think we don't need to talk about it? We need to talk about it. Why people lose their concentration is this thing. The kind of temptation a rich man faces is not the kind of temptation a poor man faces. I don't know what my wife was talking to my wife. And I said, no, 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 there's no budget for that. She said, but you're a rich man. Oh boy, that didn't hit me. Do it now, but you have money. Oh boy, it just hit me. Bah. But you know you have it. Hey, God help you. They are actually a vain person. Oh, sorry, you are married to a vain woman, and she knows you have it. I say, but. We've been shopping for another wedding ring for me since my friends took away the last one. And the bill came for 40K. I said, oh, no, 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 there's no budget for that. Said, but you can pay. I started shouting, hey, she just kept quiet. So when I needed something from her recently to approve something, I raised the issue again. I said, but do you really want me to get that ring? Say yes. I said, we'll get it. We'll get it. We'll get it. Even then, my request is still pending. Please approve. Become a person of balance. Become a person of balance. Have a bit of every part of life. Go to the galleria. Go watch a film with your wife. Take her out. Just because you married her doesn't mean she's no more your girlfriend. She's still your girlfriend. Don't love the people more than you love her. And God, have mercy on my soul. God, have mercy on my soul. Forgive me on this one. Don't love the people more than her. Don't cancel everybody except her. And God rest. God, forgive me for that one. Digest it. Call knowledge you must possess. And I close with this. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. You didn't see this coming. Call knowledge you must possess. You must know when not to speak. Value your seasons of silence more than your seasons of speech. When you are quiet, you will see more. You will observe more. You will assimilate more. When you speak, you dissipate energy. And you do not get to yourself. Know when not to speak. Value your seasons of silence more than your seasons of speech. Enjoy that moment when you don't have to say anything. Number two. core information, core knowledge you must possess. You must possess valuable information about yourself, about your assignment, about your weaknesses, about your sphere of influence. Know where you are called to. That's what he's saying. Know your strengths. Know your weaknesses. Know those areas is where you cannot dare step into. Know it. Don't let surprise happen to you. Know those places that when you get to it, kills your creativity. And stay away from it. Don't stay with fake people. Stay with real people. Say, you know, I have to be, my emotions are getting better of me. I can't control myself. Don't stay with people who tell lies and make you feel like they don't have emotions. Sounds like, no, I couldn't sleep overnight. I just woke up and I was like, wow, thinking all kind of crazy stuff. Say, really? Did you pray? Nobody prays at that kind of time. The last you want to do is to pray. Because you're just thinking about this girl. And you are enjoying that alone moment. And everybody has them. Oh. Everybody has them. Even though you say God told you she's your wife, well, you know you didn't sleep last night. You were just thinking about her and wondering how her response would be and how you are going to eventually get married and just seeing that blush on her face and all that. And you call yourself a pastor. Huh? I know God said she's your wife, but you are in love. Admit it. Don't make it look like it was God that forced you. You wanted her. You wanted her. You wanted her. You liar. You wanted her. You just didn't know how to say it. You are a liar. From the pit of hell, you wanted that girl. You didn't see an ugly girl. You went for this one that almost got first class in school, that made first class in school. While I was praying, the Holy Spirit, you shut up there and tell me she's your fantasy. And I know God says she's your wife, but do you want her? I don't mind, sir. You liar, hypocrite. I caught you there, man. You see, so I was just praying. Just shut up there. Shut up. Who am I the one that will join you? You better go and pray. So I'm not sure if he's the one. I saw two of you yesterday at Galeria. I'm not sure he's the one. What are you going to Galeria to do? Number three, core information you must get. You must understand your enemy. Know the way he thinks. Study it. The Bible says he uses wiles. The devil will be going forward. He will first behave as if he's going backwards. You must understand the pattern. He has built a pattern for you, which is different from Bola's own, different from Fatima, different from Michael. Generally the same thing, but different approach. The same old tricks. He wanted someone to eat whether an apple, whether an blackberry or blueberry. If I said the God say, he came as if he was looking for information, but he knew where he was going. And you will realize that most of the times you made very big mistakes. There were times it looked like you didn't know where you were going, but somebody in that argument knew where he was going from the onset. It was to deceive you. See, it was the woman that was deceived because Adam didn't talk to the serpent. Understand your enemy. If your enemy is a bottle of red label, understand. Psalms tell you, say, look not at wine when it is red. When the wine begins to look red to you, that means you are tipsy. Yeah. When a man is talking and he's looking into the bottle, he's not looking at you again. You're like, I don't know why she did that to me. He's getting inspiration from that glass in front of you. I don't know, man. I tried to do everything to please her. I don't know, man. You will never know. You know, they're just this thing about looking into a bottle. You people don't drink. You are too old in this church. But I can't talk to me. You people are too righteous for me. How can I be your pastor? I need people like Brake in my life. People born again from your mother's womb. I need real people, man. People who have had issues, you know, like real issues. Issues with that have name. Okay, so your mind, you are holier than this. When John the Baptist came, he refused to touch it. They shouted. Hey, this one, no, hey, you know, drink, you know, smoke, you know, do. Jesus came, he sat down there and drank wine. They say, hey, this one saying be prophet, you know. Choose a side. Understand your enemy. Understand your enemy. If you understand your enemy, you will know where not to put your time. Not stay there, the time is gone. Understand your arsenal. It's not enough to have a weapon, you must know how to use it. There's a way to pray and get results. You must know how to pray and get results. A lot of people are praying, not everybody is getting results. Are you with me? Know how to pray. There's a prayer that is called prayer of agreement. When the battle is somewhere and you don't understand, call a brother. You hold your hands. Everyone recognizes that prayer. There's some prayer that not the answer to your own. You lock your door, they do something. You will call a brother. This is what is burning inside. You hold hands. It's not a prayer. Hallelujah. He's singing like cherubs. Hey! You hold your hand. You shake and vibrate. If two or three shall agree on a matter, as touch, you start speaking King James, as touching any matter, it shall be done. Hey, begin to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and in 10 minutes you are sweating. Hey. People say, oh, that prayer is very cool, it's very collected. Ah! Not when it's with Brother Ebenezer. Your tongues are too foreign for my liking. They are too VI for my liking. They are too leggy for my liking. I need some crazy people. I can hold my hand and look at my manners. You remove your glasses, remove your shirt. Only singlet. After that, your fiancé calls you. Hello? Hello? Your voice is gone. No time. You are talking too much. That's why there's no power. You are talking too much. That's why there's no power. Hey! Get a prayer partner. There's something that's called the prayer of agreement. There are different types of prayer. Oh, I see something. Understand your arsenal. Understand the power that God has put on your inside. There are certain people, the grace God gives to them, if they pray, if they can fast 3 days and pray through. So you've not seen people pray. And what are we? Are we even praying in this church? You've not seen people that pray though. I have friends, when they want to pray, they will shut the windows, block the curtains. No light rays will come in. We are not reading Bible in this one. Want to pray. 3 days, they will not see the sun. Lock themselves in the room. They will sweat there. If NEPA bring light, good for them. By the time they come after 3 days, the eyes is clear. Those are the people you want to run with. You that you say you are fasting, you are chewing gum. Hello, tea ready. You are not ready. You are just forming. You are forming anointing. I say my lecturer told me that except I hear God, you not graduate. I said deal. That one, I cannot guarantee you even return, because even among pastors there are levels. So I don't want my level to be based on the number of people in my church. I want it to be based on the fire that burns in me when I'm in the spirit. And when you see me in the spirit, you just see blazing. That one, you go pray die. Then they dash person that kind of fire. Then they dash ammo. You go pray like a lunatic. Pray like a lunatic. Oh, you think I'm leaving my banking job to come and be jollofing in this office? Ah! God forbid. You must understand what I've been giving to you. Understand the area of your strength. Some people don't need to do that 3 days. Our pastor was with a particular man of God. That man of God was fasting for 21 days. They were going to preach in the same meeting. Someone said, pastor, this is the person you want to preach to. This one has been fasting for 21. The pastor was just smiling. Before the meeting, pastor, I said, hello, bring me one pound of yam. Bring me pound of yam. Pastor, I'll finish the pound of yam.
That started.
I will arise. Arise.
Delight myself in the Lord, and He will give me all my desire.
That pastor is that type of person. He just begins to sing to himself.
I will arise, arise.
And he was just singing and singing and singing and singing. Pa! He just switched into that realm. I said, no, you are sinners. No, you are sinners. Know what takes you there faster. You think pastor doesn't fast and pray? Anytime you call him and his number is not going, it's not around, it's at the redemption camp. Pack his things, move out. Many times when you see him here, he's coming from camp. Okay, sir. You have energy to talk, you're not praying. Know your power, know your arsenal, know what has been given to you. Personally identify it, build on it. Stop wondering why his own is like that and why your own is like that. Build on your own. That guy is envying you too. Finally, things you must see. I don't know if this message, someone is hearing me. Things you must see. Number one, you must see hope. You must see hope. Because every of these things you are doing them in hope. As at now, there's no result to show that maybe something is working. But you must not stagger the promise of God. You must see it clearly in your heart. That, oh, if I publish this book is going to the nations. And it's not a question of what. It is what that it is going. You have paid the price in the spirit. You must see hope. Number two. You must see God in what you do and in your life. Do anything and pour God out. Don't do all the planning and leave God out of it. You must see God in what you are doing. And you must see God in your life. Are you still here? Are you still here? Our time is gone. Wow, I got to the... Number three, you must see victory. Now, when all is said and done, you will still be standing. Are you hearing me? When all is said and done, you will still be standing. Oh, it's not just enough to shine. You must last. Many people, they shone like the star, but they were just a fleeting accomplishment. That they were just flashes in the pan. God doesn't want you to be a flash in the pan. He wants you to be stable, to grow, to become an institution in what you know and what He has called you to be. He wants people to look at you and ask you, how did you get here? And then you can say, Jesus, 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 there is something about your name. Master, Savior, Jesus. I don't like the fragrance. Finally, you must see your reward at the end of the day. And when all is said and done, when you close your eyes in death, if you die, when you are well into your old age, I imagine myself in my hundreds and I'm a bit on the old side. And then as I want to cross over, I can take one of those songs that He gave me in my youthful moment. I see the Lord. And I can sing this. I see the Lord. Most and I can sing that song to Him as I cross over. He is holy and beautiful and beautiful. I've not seen my guardian angel too many times, but I hope this time we can take this last journey together. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Most high. His glory in mercy, in mercy, He is glorious. I want to watch myself come out of my body and begin to walk towards the throne. When all is said and done, I don't want to be missing in His presence. I just want to be with Him forever. Glorious is. I want to see people I preach to and get their life. Guys, waiting for me on the other side.
I don't just want to do stuff and get the word and lose my soul. I want to see the quality of my work and let it be gold. 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 Not something to be consumed, but gold. I want to see you and see you and see you. Knowing that all my work was not a waste.
His glory.
When all is said and done, I want to get to him and know that if not for his mercy, if not for his grace, I could not have made it thus far. It was not because I was strong that I made it. It was because underneath were the everlasting arms. I want to know that if there were 1, 2, 3 people who made it, it was because of the work of grace in my own heart. I want to come before him, not empty handed, but with souls in my hands. Not with money, but with souls in my hands. Not with money, but with souls in my hands. I want to come to him in white garments, not stained, but washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not stained, but washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want to come before him knowing that it was worth it. Father, help your people this morning. Wherever they are in their lives right now, I ask that you will help them. I want you to bring them help from above. In the name of Jesus, wherever people are hurting this morning, I release the oil, the balm of Gilead, to begin to touch you, to begin to bring you healing. In the name of Jesus, I receive activation of prophecy for you. As many of you who have prophecies that have been lingering for too long, I declare that today is your season, today is your day. I declare that prophecy is coming alive. I receive encouragement for you. 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 I receive encouragement for you.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us, plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, satellite bus of Ikodo Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.